Corette of California in San Francisco, creators of feminine sportswear, join with their distributors from coast to coast to present Showstoppers. Here comes a showstopper. Featuring your host,
yours truly, Knox Manning.
And starring the glamorous story of
Constance Bennett.
Showstoppers, the spotlight is on that once-in-a-lifetime thrilling moment in the careers of the great stars of Hollywood and Broadway. The moment when they stood breathlessly between success and failure, and then stopped the show. In the language of show business, that means turning the corner from the darkness of obscurity into the Klieg lights of world acclaim. It's the first step that leads to fame and fortune. Each week, Showstoppers brings you a star and a story. This week, it's Constance Bennett.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Knox.
How are you, Connie? May I say right at the start that it's a real privilege to add your story to our collection of showstoppers.
Thank you. I don't really know what kind of a story you're going to get out of me, but go ahead and try, and I'll do what I can to help you make all the implausible things that have happened to me sound plausible.
There's nothing implausible about your career, Connie. I think yours is one of the most notable success stories in the annals of Hollywood.
You do, Knox?
Mm-hmm.
How about the time I literally stopped the show when I had to play a love scene while a rat walked across the stage? Or the time on location in Arizona that I was thrown from a horse, nearly bitten by a tarantula, and came near being clawed by a wildcat, all in the space of about 5 seconds? Or the time that I couldn't make myself cry in a movie scene and then burst into tears at the sight of an electrician tripping over a wire? Do things like that sound plausible to you, Knox?
Well, Connie, you know the old saying, truth is stranger than fiction.
You can say that again, and a lot more fun, too.
Well, I want to come back to these implausible things that have happened in your career, Connie, and cover them in greater detail. But first, just to clear the decks for the real action that's to follow, how about some vital statistics?
All right, what do you want to know?
Well, where were you born?
In New York City. Do you want to know when?
No. Sure was a lucky day for Hollywood and the millions of people who've seen you on the screen.
Oh, I don't know, Knox. I don't think they were too interested in me at that time, do you?
Well, they were soon after that, Connie. How old were you when you made your first picture?
15. But I left the screen soon after that for 6 years.
You started at 15, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose acting was in your blood, being the daughter of Richard Bennett.
Well, actually it was, I suppose, but I didn't want to be an actress, and neither did Joan.
You didn't want to be an actress?
Mm-mm.
And yet you started at 15?
Oh, I did that. Went into movies, that is, because my parents didn't want me to.
Oh, wait a minute. What is all this? Do you mean to say that your father, who himself was a great actor, disapproved?
He certainly did, Knox, of pictures, that is. He wanted me to go on the stage. Mother disapproved of both. I met Sam Goldwyn on the ship coming back from France where I'd gone to school, and he suggested that I ought to be in pictures, so I took him up on it.
Even though your parents didn't like the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You sure had a mind of your own, didn't you?
Well, Knox, you know, people have always said that Father was a forceful individualist and pretty stubborn. And I guess maybe I'm a chip off the old block.
Your father, Connie, was one of the greatest actors the theater's ever known. You are a chip off the old block.
Oh, thank you, Knox.
Tell me, what was the first picture you made?
Cytherea, starring Alma Rubens and Ronald Coleman.
Tell me, Connie, as children, did you and your sister spend a lot of time around the theater?
Well, we were in and around them a good deal, yes, Knox. We went with Father on his tours all over the country, but We were never allowed to hang around backstage, as it were.
Oh, I see. You weren't a typical theatrical family, then.
I really don't think theatrical families are any different from any other families. At home, there was a lot of talk about the theater and about plays and actors, just as there's probably lots of talk about hospitals and medicine in a doctor's home.
Yeah, I never thought about it in quite that way, Connie. I guess I talk a lot about radio at home.
Mm-hmm.
Are your children going to be actors? Let's see, you have three, don't you?
Yes, a boy and two girls. Well, I don't know whether they'll be actors and actresses, Knox. They're exposed to it, I suppose, but, well, I'll let them decide for themselves when the time comes.
Now I'd like to get back to some of these implausible incidents in your career as a showstopper, Connie. You said something about a rat walking across the stage during a love scene.
Yes, and that big, fat rat just about stopped the show, too. It happened one night in 1943 at the Cass Theater in Detroit, where I was doing Philip Barry's play Without Love. In the middle of the third act, I suddenly saw a rat sauntering across the stage near the footlights.
What did you do, Connie?
Well, I prematurely threw myself into the arms of my leading man, who I'll admit was no end taken aback, and then played the rest of the scene from the relative safety of a piano stool, ad-libbing lines about the rat into my speeches.
And the audience?
Well, Knox, I learned that it isn't easy to compete with a rat.
I can imagine. Still, I'll bet if your father had been there that night, he'd have been mighty proud of his daughter. By the way, Connie, did you ever do a play with your father?
No, not a play, but we did do a picture together in 1934 or 5, I think it was.
Oh, that must have been quite an experience for both of you.
It was, but not in quite the way you mean it.
Oh? What happened?
Well, as you know, Knox, Father didn't think too highly of motion pictures as an artistic medium, so he didn't always make things too easy for the poor director. Well, he was playing my father in this picture called Bort, and we were doing a rather exciting scene together. Archie Mayo, the director, felt that he was playing the scene too slowly, but he didn't dare tell Father. So he asked me if I'd tell him.
Oh, and did you?
Yes, I took my courage by the ear and went up to Father and explained that the tempo in pictures was generally faster than that on the stage, and though he was doing the scene beautifully, asked him if he minded doing it just a bit faster. Father looked at me for a moment and then roared, "Great Scott! That I should live to see the day when my brat would tell me how to act."
Well, Connie, as the first actually independent woman producer in pictures, you probably had to tell many another actor how to act since that day. We'll be back for the rest of your showstoppers in just a few moments.
Claret of California creates sun-slanted sportswear with around-the-clock versatility, styled with all the verve of California living. Trick skirts and pleat skirts, girdle slacks and jackets. They're brief trick shorts and trick combos. Remember these names. These are the fashions to be casually worn, but carefully chosen from California. Claret of California.
Now back to Showstoppers and the fascinating story of Constance Bennett. I take it from what you've said so far, Connie, that unlike your father, who was primarily of the theater, you're primarily the product of motion pictures.
Yes, Knox. As a matter of fact, I'd been in pictures 8 years before I even set foot on a stage.
8 years? You must have had plenty of chances during that time.
Well, I'll admit many plays were submitted to me, but I like pictures. Finally, I did do a play, chiefly because I couldn't resist the part and, well, I wanted the experience that one can get only from behind the footlights.
And now, in addition to being an independent motion picture producer, you have your own radio show 5 mornings a week. How in the world do you have time to do all these things, Connie?
No, I don't know. I guess the busier you are, the more time you have to get things done.
Well, that must be the secret of your great success, your infinite capacity for hard work. Your father must have been very proud of you.
Well, Knox, I think he was secretly pleased, although he hated to admit it. I remember he once said to me, "Well, there was a time when Constance and Joan were the daughters of Richard Bennett. Now Richard Bennett is merely the father of Constance and Joan."
And I remember that your reply to that was, "They'll never be as great as their father."
And it's the truth, too.
Well, it's a great tribute to an illustrious father from an equally illustrious daughter. Now, Connie, what was that incredible occurrence in Arizona you mentioned at the start of our talk?
Well, that actually happened, you know, Knox, in the second picture I ever made. It was a Western, and we were on location in Arizona. There were about 200 men in the company, and I was the only girl. We were all on horses riding along a narrow ledge. Kenneth Hawks, the assistant director, was riding behind me leading two pack mules, and he started to pass me. The second mule shied just as he was going past me, causing my horse to rear. Well, my horse landed with both front feet over the edge of the precipice, and I was in such a hurry to get off that I sprained my ankle. As I sat there, rubbing my feet, someone yelled,
"Don't move!"
I froze with fright. There, not more than an inch from my hand, was a huge black tarantula. Well, someone dropped a rock on it, and just at that moment, I heard a shot. I turned and saw a wildcat tumble lifelessly out of a tree 3 feet in back of me. That's all.
That's enough, I'd say. And still you prefer pictures to the stage, Connie. What was your first really important picture? That is, the first one in which you were starred.
Common Clay. I did it for Fox in 1932. And what's more, I nearly muffed it.
Nearly muffed your showstopper?
Almost. A big fat electrician saved the day.
What happened, Connie?
Well, I was playing an emotional scene with Lou Ayres. And the shot they wanted was of me crying. But I couldn't for the life of me make myself cry. Victor Fleming, the director, had tried everything imaginable, and I couldn't blame him for being exasperated.
Now look, Connie, all you have to do is burst into tears. Let's just try it once more.
Well, I have tried, Vic. I just can't do it. I feel too happy.
Well, try to feel sad, then.
But I don't feel sad. I feel happy.
Well, then think of something sad. Something sad that's happened to you. Something so sad that it made you cry.
But I can't cry about that now.
Why not? Try to imagine that it's happening now.
I have tried. I'm still trying, Vic. But I just can't think of anything.
Think of stories with sad endings. Think of poor Camille. Or think of... Did you see Over the Hill?
Yes.
Didn't you cry when you saw that picture?
Yes, I guess I did. I'm a pushover for sad pictures, but, well, that doesn't want to make me cry now.
Well, sad music, then. Does some kind of music make you feel sad?
Well, not unless it's a sad occasion.
Well, let's try it anyway. Tommy, get the violinist over here.
Right away, Mr. Fleming.
Tell him to play the saddest music he knows for Miss Bennett. And now, Connie, you just sit right here and listen. Try to get everything else out of your mind. Just think of the music.
I'll try, Vic.
That's the girl. Now then, dim the lights. Music. Quiet, everyone.
That poor man played for a solid hour, all to no avail. I just couldn't make myself cry. And then, just as we were about to give up, along came the fat electrician, his arms loaded with light bulbs. He tiptoed across the stage, caught his foot on a wire, and fell flat on his face. That did it. I went into hysterical laughter and then into tears, and Vic Fleming yelled,
"Quick, get her on the set! Lights, camera, action!"
And so they shot the scene, and Constance Bennett turned Common Clay into the first great showstopper of her great career. Since that day, she's consistently held her place among the great showstoppers of radio, screen, and stage.
This is Constance Bennett with a final word of thanks to our listeners and to our host, Knox Manning. Join Showstoppers again next week for the story of Guy Lombardo.
Corette of California in San Francisco and their distributors throughout the nation have presented Showstoppers. Listen again next week, same time, same station, for another performance of Showstoppers.